Philippians 3:10. Tell me when you get there. I'm gonna start something early. We're headed toward the resurrection day, mm-hmm. And I want to go ahead and start talking about the resurrection. And so let's start a little on the light side today, and we're going to move forward into some good things about it, but I feel like we need to get started. So Philippians 3:10 says, this is the Apostle Paul talking and praying. He says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So what he wants now, he wants to understand and experience the proper influence that Jesus' resurrection should have on his mind. You understand? He's looking to have the resurrection have proper influence on him. You know how the Bible says, consider Jesus. Well, the Apostle Paul was considering Jesus' resurrection. I want to consider this. I want to think about it. I want to meditate on it. I want to know everything I need to know about it. What I should have on my mind about it. And so I think, church, that we want to think deeply about the resurrection. We want to think deeply about the resurrection power. I was talking to you about a satisfied life on Wednesday night, and I made this comment to you. I said, church, God is with you in power, not just comfort. There's power. The Bible says what? That you'll receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That's dunamis. That's that word dunamis. That's dynamite power. It's explosive power. It's like the anointing. It is the anointing. It removes burden. When come in contact with the natural, it will remove burdens and destroy yokes. Sometimes I think we don't live in this enough. That's why I wanted to become mindful of it in this season. Amen. And so God is with you in power. You know, we have a great inheritance as the children of God. I mean, it's great. And the greatest victory, you know, we rehearse is the fact that Jesus was raised from the dead, isn't it? Isn't that the greatest victory? I mean, you can't even call yourself a born-again Christian if you don't believe that Jesus died and was resurrected from the dead. In fact, that's how you became a Christian. You believed with your heart and confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and that God raised him from the dead. Amen? Amen. That's how you got born again. You get, well, I just always knew Jesus. No, that's mental. You had to do something to get born again. And that's what you said. That's what you did. And, you know, Jesus lived on this earth. And think of all the things. Was it John who said, there's no way we could write in a book all the things that Jesus did? You just can't even put it all in all the miracles that he did. And what about all the things he said? And wow, we're still just living on those words that he said, aren't we? So it's just amazing that Jesus has done all these wonderful things, for us. And then what about going to the cross? You realize he bled 7 times for you. On the way and at the cross, he bled. Isaiah 53:5 says he was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. The chastisement of your peace was upon him. And by his stripes, you're healed. You were healed, it said. You are healed. We need to get that. We need to think about that. But there's just another great thing about Jesus. Another great thing that he's done for us. Amen. And so he gave us total payment for sin. He gave us total payment for sickness, disease, and failure. And listen, death was the only way to pay. Okay? And we're so blessed that Jesus went to the cross for us. We're so blessed. It's a wonderful thing. It was a horrible death. It was for me and you. But it didn't end there. He actually, and a lot of people don't believe this, but if you'll read your Bible, you'll find out he went into hell and conquered death, hell, and the grave. According to the scripture. If he didn't go, you'd have to. He had to pay for the whole thing. I was talking to the Lord about that this morning, even after I'd written my notes, and the Lord said this to me. He said, the only way to get into the dark is to become dark. And I said, okay, Jesus became dark on the cross because he took on all the sins of mankind. So all the darkness came on him. Are you with me? Yeah. You see what I'm saying? But then he went in and he threw over their tables. He conquered. He was triumphant. And then we know that by the power of the glory of God, Jesus was raised from the dead. And there was no dark force that could stop Jesus from being raised from the dead. But I tell you, there was more power used at the resurrection than at creation.
Yeah.
There was no opposing force at creation. Now all the forces had been put down at this moment. But I'm telling you, there was more power because there were already people in the earth with mindsets and strongholds. Amen. But it didn't stop what Jesus, his resurrection, didn't stop what God was doing. So Jesus was raised from the dead by the power and the glory of God. Amen. You know, the power of God hit Jesus' body and life and light blew through him. They thought there was an earthquake. That was life hitting Jesus' body. Amen. So powerful. You know, we refer to our bodies as houses. The Apostle Paul referred to our bodies as tents. But Jesus referred to our bodies as mansions. He said in John 14:2, in my house, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. And you may go, oh, man, I thought I was going to live in a mansion when I go to heaven. Honey, you can live in whatever you want to in heaven. All your dreams are fulfilled in heaven. Father is a good God. He's not holding back. Some people like tiny houses. They might not want to have a mansion, but it'll look real good.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. There are many dwellings. But I'm telling you, when power hits you, you have opportunity to be a mansion yourself. You have the healing power of God on the inside of you. And when you're resurrected and have a glorified body, you'll have the final mansion. Amen. Praise the Lord. The song says, church, there's a song. I think Deb's going to sing it for us pretty soon. It says, the same power that conquered the grave lives in me. You remember that song? I think it's the only line in the song. Well, there's two lines in it. The same power that conquered that grave is living on the inside of you right now. The Apostle Paul wanted to be intimately acquainted with Jesus, but also the power of the resurrection. We should be acquainted with his death and his burial. We should understand his sufferings. That scripture said that. But also experience the power. That's what we were doing earlier today. The power was released in here. Well, if you didn't feel it, that's because you're too far down into the natural.
Yeah.
This is true. You're just in the natural. But when you begin to feel his presence, that's because you're yielding to the realm of God. You're yielding to the Spirit of God. And you'll get all jumpy around like we do sometimes. Church, we don't have courtesy drops when people lay hands.
No, we don't.
If people fall out in the Spirit, it's because the power of God gets so strong on them, they can't stand up. We're telling you, dig in. Don't fall down if you don't need to. You don't have to work our ushers that hard if you don't need to. But I'm telling you. But the truth is, if you receive so much of the power of God, sometimes it takes your legs out from under you.
Yeah, it does.
Well, it's never done that to me. I said that before, too. Yeah. I have to tell you a funny story. My sermon's short, so I'll tell you some funny stories. Jesse Duplantis, when he was very first coming in with Brother Copeland, came to a motorcycle rally, and we were on hard pavement, and he prayed for me. And I said, now I'm not going down because that pavement is pretty hard. And as soon as Jesse touched me, the power of God knocked me flat down, okay? And Jesse, He's so funny. He went, "Are you okay?" And he helped me get up. But the power of God is real. The presence of God is real. Go ahead and enjoy the presence of God. Go ahead and yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. Well, I don't need to feel anything to be in faith. Nobody said you did, but we sure are enjoying the presence of God. Just like you and you, don't you feel the presence of someone who's with you, with your friend, with your parent, whoever? You feel, you enjoy their presence. Well, I want to enjoy the presence of God. Thank you, Jesus. That was free anyway. Praise the Lord. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Because listen, resurrection changed everything. Yeah, that's right. And it's about to change this world like never before. Yeah. This is Ephesians 1:15 through 20 if you want to go over there. See, the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:15. The Holy Spirit for us, when you were born again, the Holy Spirit came in you. Every Baptist that does not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit has the Holy Spirit. They just don't go to the next step, and that's okay. It's none of our business. I came out of the Baptist church, and we did a lot of good, I'll tell you. They're great people. But what I'm trying to say to you is the Holy Spirit can come on you. And that's what that scripture was saying, upon you. So there's a difference. The Holy Spirit's in us, but when we release him on purpose, you can do it on purpose. You can, by faith. That's why I'm going down trails, but it'll be okay. When we all pray, I say, don't just reach out there and throw. That's why we ask you, if you're standing around someone and we're praying, don't just reach out there and put your hand on them. Wait for point of contact where we all release our faith. And there's the anointing right there, see. And you can, and you're sensitive enough to feel that release. Did you feel it? And so the Holy Spirit will work upon you. Now let's read the scripture here. Therefore also, after I heard of your faith in Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Okay? Now, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us? Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. In other words, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Paul prays that we would have the revelation of the power that is toward believers. That's what he's praying. He's saying, Lord, help the believers understand that I've given them the same power that you've given them the same power that you used at the resurrection. Amen. That's some pretty good power.
That's good.
Amen. That's his prayer. I pray that over you. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened to that. May you see and know that you're packing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The power that raised Christ from the dead and set him in authority is the same power that is toward you right now. How well do we perceive that? How well, when faced with something, how well are you perceiving you've got the power? It's in you right now. You received it when you received Jesus. And I say this to you every year, and I'll continue to say it as long as it's my turn to preach. But Resurrection power is really simple. It makes dead things live. It makes dead things live. It makes dead people live. It makes dead dreams live. It makes dead, miserable life step over into an exciting but peaceful, powerful, restful life. That's what resurrection power does. In the end, when we get to the final end, graves will open. Bodies will be resurrected. The rapture will come, but eventually, and then bodies will go up as well. But I'm telling you, resurrection power is what does that. Okay? Billy Brim's grandson said, Mimi, how are you going to go up? She says, I don't know. How are you going to go up? He says, I'm going to go up like an airplane if I can keep my legs together. That's what's going to happen. But in the meantime, resurrection power is here for other people. It's for you, but it's for other people on this earth. You can use some power. I'm thinking about Pastor John and Ann, and I've told you this story, but we have some new people, so I'll tell it. Maybe some people listening online. They're driving down the highway, and there's a wreck, and there's a man out there, and he's laying out on the ground, and they go up, and he appears to have been deceased, you know. And Pastor John, well, Lord, I thank you for his life, and we'll stay here as they come to him. Praise the Lord. And Ann jumps right in the middle of him. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke death off of you. And that man sits up. That's resurrection power.
That's resurrection power.
Andrew Womack's son laid in the morgue for 5 hours. He had a toe tag. They raised him from the dead. You're like, well, why didn't that happen to some of our relatives? Because they would be very mad at you. I'm serious. I know of a preacher who, he died. And as soon as he got there, he takes off running. He said, man, I was running like a gazelle across these fields. I'm just running out in the country. And all of a sudden, he sees Jesus. And Jesus says, stop, you got to go back. And he goes, what? He said, your wife is calling that name. I don't remember her name, so I'll use, I think I'll use Margaret. That'll be good. He said, Margaret, what'd you do that for? But see, you got to know when someone's going to go ahead and have a better life there. But it's still the resurrection power on both sides. Amen. You're sitting here with the light and the life of the Zoe life of God wall to wall on the inside of you. The power, the resurrection power of God. You receive that?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. So Ephesians 2:1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Okay, God exerts the same power toward us as he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead. And this is something you did not earn. If we read this scripture down, listen to this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. So we're quickened. We're made alive. You understand your spirit was dead before you were born again. So you resurrected. When you received Jesus and his resurrection, you were resurrected, okay? And so he quickened you. He quickened your mortal body and your spirit first, of course, and then your body. But it says that he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So your born-again experience, your light coming on in your spirit, that's what happened to you. You turned on the inside. You were illuminated, if you will. It wasn't just a mental thing. It wasn't just that you went, I think Jesus is real. I think so. I'll agree with that. No. Something happened. You had an awakening. And you knew that you were changed at that moment. You knew it. But you were saved by grace through faith. You can't get good enough to get saved. That is not what it's about. To think your works could save you or keep you saved, it's ludicrous. Jesus paid once and for all every sin that will ever be committed. So which sin are you going to do that's going to kick you out? A lot of people believe that. Well, you know, I've got in by grace, but I could get kicked out if I'm bad. Well, then you're already kicked out because you've been bad at one time or another. Yeah, but there must be one. Isn't there one? What about that one they talk about? I might leave that alone today. We might go down a trail that'd take a long time. What about that one, you know, talking about grieving the Holy Spirit, you know? I'll just tell you this. It'd be very, 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 very difficult to get unborn again.
Yeah.
Because it's a thing about your spirit. You could backslide, you could run away, you could be gone for God from years, but it's going to be very difficult to change that life that's in you. I mean, you'd have to get in his face and deny that the Holy Ghost exists, that he exists, and I don't even know if he'd let you go after that. Remember, he's trying to get you in, not out. This is not a let's try to punch a button and maybe we'll let you in here. He loves you. I like, you know, we're grace people, you know, and I like what Brother Copeland and Glory always say. They always say this. They just say, you know, so-and-so, they may do this, this, and this and make these choices in life. They're going to go to heaven, but they might have hell on earth. And so that's where the line is drawn, because your soul is not saved. Your spirit is saved. But, so your spirit is okay. All right. All right. Now, Jesus did not come to make bad men good. He came to make dead men live. So when you understand that, it shifts things for you. You understand, well, I'm alive. And then when you understand that he put this righteousness stamp on you, you are the righteousness of God. Then you will be, that's a nature now. So the nature of God, if you pay any attention to it, will cause you to do what's right, do it right because it's right. And if you read the Word of God and get into the Word, you'll have some integrity. Amen. You'll begin to make the right choices. But it's not about earning this resurrection power. It's, he's in you and it's on you. Oh, there's so many trails I'm going on. I wish I could go further down them, but not today. Now, let's look at just one more thing. That I might know him and the power of his resurrection, Jesus and the resurrection are the same. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, Jesus said this in John 11:25. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. That's big. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I think I've told you the story before about that my dad couldn't leave his body. And we didn't know then that Jesus was the healer. But we knew Jesus and we knew there was heaven. And so we were looking for his way out because he was in a coma and he would come to and he didn't want to leave. And so we found a scripture and it was this scripture. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. That's who I am. He who believes in me is never going to die. And when we read that to my dad, he left immediately. He got a revelation right then. resurrection power hit him right then. He went, I can go. Did you know that a year later, my mother went on the same scripture? I was reading it to her on Easter about resurrection. And that girl decided to go ahead and ride out on that verse. I read it to her. And it's funny because I misquoted myself accidentally. I said, Mom, I'm going to read you the scripture before I leave and we're going to go home. And I said, before you leave, I'm going to read you the scripture. I went, no, I mean, before I leave, we're going to leave. But I said, before you leave. And then I read her that scripture. And by, when I got home, the phone was ringing. I said, Miss Alexander, your mom passed. I'm like, what? That girl? It was a blessing for my mother. She'd been sick all of my life. And I was blessed that she went to heaven and with my dad. So praise the Lord. So we were young. I was like 30 years old when my parents went to heaven. But you know, God has been good. He has been good. He's put people in my life that were mothers and fathers and blessed me. God takes care of us, doesn't he? Thank you, Jesus. I'm the resurrection and the life. The whole power to restore, impart, and maintain resides in me. That's what Jesus said. The whole power to restore, impart, and maintain resides in me. That's what Jesus, he can restore anything. Well, you know, me and my dad, we never got along, and he went on to glory, but we never were restored. It's not over, honey. That's just, we're just here in a chapter. It's all going to work out there because there's no strife there. There's no trouble there. You will be so thrilled at all the people that are going to run up to you and go, hey, it's going to be good. It's going to be exciting. But this resurrection power is not just for heaven. It's for now. What needs to resurrect in your life, church? What needs to live in your life? Maybe parts of your body. Maybe in your mind. Maybe in your thinking. Maybe a dream that you had. Maybe a ministry that you've had. Maybe a relationship that you have that does need to be fixed now. What needs to be resurrected? Because resurrection power is in you right now. You can make a demand upon it and watch things change. That power will put things down and pick things up. That sounded like the Avengers or something, but it's true. You can tell I watched WandaVision. Absolute victory is God's plan for every human being. You were created to have dominion in this earth. Jesus Christ has regained all authority that Adam lost. And you have it. And that's why today, if you see bad fruit coming, you can curse it at the root. Hurt people hurt people. And I'm not eating their fruit another day. No man eat fruit thereof hereafter forever. Are y'all reading me? You get what I'm trying to tell you? Some people just trying to hand you their nasty old fruit, and you don't have to eat it. The Lord talked to me about that. He said, this is a really good verse for you. You don't have to let people throughout your lifetime continue to misuse you and abuse you. Amen. God will take care of it. Yes, he will. Now, I'm not saying you won't go up and choke them or something. I'm just saying, Jesus, kill them. I'm talking about that you clear your realm out. Yeah, Lord, I can talk about that. I just want to say this. Let's just fit this in here just here as we go. We're early anyway, but let me just fit this in here. Your circles of people that you let into your circle, It's very important. But see, there's just this, I don't want to put labels on it because I want to make sure this gets out to everyone. There's this thing in Christianity where you think you have to love everyone and let them into the middle of your life. And it's not true. Let's look at Jesus. He had multitudes around him, but he couldn't spend time with all of them. And then he had 70. And he was telling them what to do, but I don't imagine he got to spend much time with them. He just had to have help. And then there were what? 12. And then what did he have? 3. Who are they? Peter, James, and John. And then he had 1. John. So his circle was built with people. And there's going to be some times in your life when you may have to move someone out of your circle. That doesn't mean the love of God isn't there. It just means that you're not going to eat that fruit anymore.
Amen.
Because you've got something to do.
Amen.
And you don't need to be dealing with it.
That's right.
It's just the truth. You need to watch who's in your circle. But we're supposed to love everybody. Love them. But that doesn't mean they need your attention all the time. And that doesn't mean that you need to let them abuse you all the time because you're walking in the love. Sometimes you're walking in the love if you go ahead and rebuke them.
Yes,
now you need to know when to do that. Don't everybody run out of here and start rebuking everybody. But I'm telling you, sometimes you need to say, no, you're not going to do that. And sometimes it will cost you that they will move out of your circle. But sometimes it's necessary. And you know, I'm real big on moving wolves out of our circles because I don't want wolves mixed in with the sheep. We'll let a few goats hang around, but I'm just playing, sort of. Now, knowing what Jesus, did you receive me on that? That was just a little extra. Watch your circles. It's okay. I love so-and-so, but I may not need to be having lunch with them all the time. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm not going to go up to them and say, I'm moving you out of my circle. No. Let's have a little wisdom here. That's good. Praise the Lord. So Jesus has done everything for you. He'll change your life. He'll absolutely change your life. He destroyed the power of the devil, according to 1 John 3:8. He disarmed the wicked demon spirits, Colossians 2:15. His resurrection has made it possible for you to have resurrection power in you. You've been raised from the dead, and you have defeated whatever needs to be defeated, and you are in victory right now. And that you're from defeat to victory right now. That's who you are. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest event that ever took place in the sense realm and the spirit realm. And there's just so much more we could talk about, but I'm just calling you to awakening that resurrection power is living in you. Jesus is the victor. We're the overcomers. We're the masters of circumstances. Well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, really? Because resurrection power is living in you. Holy Spirit's living in you. You've got some wisdom in you.